Welcome to Sunday Insight, a synopsis of the worship experience here at Wayzata Community Church. Today is a special and unique day of worship as we center our message and our songs on the themes from The Wizard of Oz. Let's join the congregation already in worship.
Today we are wrapping up a five-week series that we called No Place Like Home, recognizing that in the musical of Oz that our community has been putting together over the last few months, and in relationship to Oz and our own lives and the scriptures, how we can learn and engage our minds and hearts in new ways looking at this musical. So I'm going to take us back to the very beginning. One day, Dorothy and Toto found themselves in a wondrous world. They're not in Kansas anymore, that's for sure. You might say they arrived there by grace alone, in the midst of their mostly tranquil and unsatisfying life, a life that had prompted Dorothy to dream a dream of a better world, a place over the rainbow. They found that land through the power that was much greater than themselves. A twister. A twister blows through the plains of Kansas and picks them up and twirls them around and sets them down in a new realm. And the sepia tones of life turn into technicolor. And the drab becomes dynamic. And everything is made new. For the first time in her life, Dorothy feels alive. However, for the first time in her life, Dorothy is awakened to her ultimate dream. A dream to find home. Dorothy receives a very simple answer. Follow the yellow brick road. And looking up, she sees this clear path of golden bricks winding around and leading her off into the distance. This road, she was promised, would take her to the city of Oz, where she would meet a wonderful wizard. And this wonderful wizard would be able to give her the answers that she's been searching for. And he would show her the way to go home. The first thing Dorothy does is take on this yellow road. And sure enough, it's right there at her feet in all of its glory. And like most advice that we all receive, following the yellow brick road proves inadequate. It proves inadequate in helping her achieve her dreams or finding home. And while leading to Oz, the simple road doesn't lead her back home. It doesn't lead her to what she really wants. Now, over the last 5 weeks and along the yellow brick road and the road to fulfilling their desires, Dorothy discovers some of the greatest gifts of any journey. The first gift that Dorothy receives is community. The friends that Dorothy meets as she journeys down this yellow brick road turn in this journey into a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage of self-discovery and new life. And together, they discover the hidden resources that are within themselves, and they find what they had always been looking for. A brain, a heart, courage, and home. So with that, let's start the scene.
Step forward, if you dare. Can I believe my eyes? Why have you come back?
We've done what you've asked us to. Well, we killed the witch. Well, we melted her.
Oh, you liquidated her, eh? Very resourceful.
So we'd like you to keep your promise, if you please, sir.
Not so fast. Not so fast. I'll need to give the matter a little thought. Go away and come back tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, but I want to go home now.
You've had plenty of time already.
Yeah!
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said, come back tomorrow.
Well, if you really were great and powerful, you'd keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? Ungrateful creatures, think yourselves lucky that I'm granting you an audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now. The great Oz has spoken. Now go. I said, go! Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great and powerful Oz has spoken.
Who are you?
I am the great and powerful wizard of Oz.
You are?
Yes, it's true. There's no other wizard but me.
You're a humbug!
Yeah!
Yes, that's exactly so. I'm a humbug.
Oh, you're a very bad man.
Oh, no, my dear. I'm a very good man. I'm just a very bad wizard.
Wait. Stop for just a second. Wizard.
Yes.
You're the king of walls. You built these walls around you to keep people from knowing the real man behind the curtain. You have all the smoke and mirrors necessary to fool even the smartest of people. So, Wizard, for 40 scenes, you set in this box. And then at this point, the curtain is pulled back and you're revealed to be truly who you are. What does that feel like?
Well, it's scary at first and a little bit disorienting. But after the initial shock wears off, I find that it is a relief. And for the first time in a long time, I can be my true self and not have to hide anything anymore.
This is the power of vulnerability. When we can drop the walls and be honest about who we really are. We don't have to hide anymore, that there's no shame that keeps us back, but that we can truly drop the curtains and the smoke and the mirrors and be found out. Let's continue.
What about the heart you promised, Tin Man?
Yeah, Scarecrow's brain.
Like anybody can have a brain. That's a very mediocre commodity. Back where I come from, we have universities where men go and they become great thinkers. When they come out, they think deep thoughts. It was no more brains than you have, but they have one thing you haven't got.
What's that?
A diploma. Therefore, by the authority vested in me by the Universitatis Committeatum, e pluribus unum, I hereby confer upon you the honorary degree of THD.
THD?
Yes, as a doctor of thinkology.
Sum of the square root of any two sides of an isosceles triangle is equal to the square root of the remaining side. Oh, joy, oh, rapture. Oh, I've got a brain. Oh, how could I ever repay you?
Okay, wait. You can let him go. Awesome. So, Scarecrow, for years before this play, you've been hung up, believing you didn't have a brain, believing that somehow your intellect wasn't enough. So, Kai, I'm going to ask you to break character. Everybody, this is Kai, if you didn't know.
Surprise!
Kai, you're one of the most creative thinkers I've ever met, right? You and I have had hours of conversation about theology and about how God is impacting your life, and the way that your brain works is fascinating to me. Yet, as a kid and growing up, the way that your brain worked often acted as an isolation for you, mm-hmm. right? That yeah. it kept you from doing some of the things that you might have wanted to do or experiences that you might want to experience. So talk to me about how this character and about how in your own life that you've come to know your intellect in a different way and accept who you fully are.
Sure. The point at which I really started actively rethinking rethinking the way I thought about myself was after I dropped out of college after 2 years. And I had to start actively thinking about how my gifts and my impedances interact with each other and the world, and the fact that they're all part of who I am. Like the wizard said, letting the walls come down is a relief, even though it's scary. And I think, especially in this Easter time, in this Lenten time, a word, a Hebrew word that Moses said is really important to me, and it's hineni. And that's when God says, Moses, where are you? And Moses says, here I am, hineni. He's not just playing hide and seek. Hineni is, here I am, all of me, a bearing of the soul type thing. And that's Moses' way of saying, my stutter, my lack of confidence, anything you need is here for you to be transformed for your will and your leadership. And then he becomes the leader of the Jews and leads them to freedom. And what we do if we're willing to go through that initial pain or those deaths and experience resurrection for ourselves is powerful. And I think the scarecrow really does that, because if you look, as soon as he's down from the pole, he's coming up with all the plans. He's the brains of the operation. But all he needed was a place that was fertile enough for him to become who he really was. And that's why I'm grateful for a place like this, for people like John and for Autumn and for you, who are so good at creating a place for people to be who they are.
Carry on.
You, my fine friend, are under the unfortunate delusion that just because you run away from danger, you have no courage. You are confusing courage with wisdom. Back where I come from, we have men called heroes, and once a year they take their fortitude out of the mothballs and parade it down the main street of the city, with no more courage than you have. But they have one thing you haven't got. A medal. Therefore, though meritorious conduct, extraordinary valor, and conspicuous bravery against wicked witches, I hereby award you the Triple Cross. You are now a member of the Legion of Courage.
Aw, shucks, folks, I'm speechless.
Okay, hold on. Lion. Bold, courageous, brave. I love your character. Probably my favorite character in the entire story. And lions, right, they're known for their kingliness, for their bravado, their roar. And somehow, your character came to believe because he didn't have the bravado, then he didn't have the courage of the lion. So how did your character find this courage? What did you discover in the process of this character?
I just said I was speechless. Were you not paying attention? I'll go back to what the wizard said right before that line. He said, you're confusing courage with wisdom. As usual, the wizard only gets things half right. I think what he meant was that I was confusing cowardice and wisdom, because let's face it, the world can be a dangerous place. So fearlessness is in fact an irrational response to real danger. But what courage is facing your fear and moving past your fear, not for the sake of bravado or macho posturing, but rather for the sake of a worthy cause, of a real human need, of a soul that needs saving. So I think that's what the lion was slowly trying to figure out.
Carry on.
As for you, my galvanized friend, you want a heart.
Yes.
You don't know how lucky you are not to have one. Hearts will never be practical until they can be made unbreakable.
Well, but I still want one.
Yes, back where I come from, we have men who do nothing all day except good deeds. They are called good deed doers, and their hearts are no bigger than yours. But they have one thing you haven't got, a testimonial. Therefore, in consideration of your kindness, I take great pleasure at this time in presenting you with a token of our esteem and affection. And remember, my sentimental friend, a heart is not judged by how much you love, but by how much you are loved by others.
Listen to my heart. It ticks, it's ticking.
Read my medal, what it says.
Okay, hold on. Let me hear your heart again. It's nice. It's nice.
It is.
Tin Man, as you go through this journey, one of the things that happens is a community is formed around you, right? Your heart was broken, and as your heart was broken, there were all kinds of incidents that froze you up, rusted you up. So how has the community within this story formed you and created heart?
Well, I had a community. I had my Munchkin Maiden, and I had love, and I had my friends, and then, well, I chopped off my leg, and then I chopped off my other leg, and then I chopped off both my arms, and then I split myself down the middle, and then I lost everything, and I got all rusted up. And my community left me. My one friend, the tinsmith, he went out of business, and he left me, and I was all alone, and I think maybe my heart rusted up at the same time because I just didn't need to use it anymore. And so I didn't know I could use it. And then I met these three friends, and well, I had a reason again, and I had a reason to love and a reason to care for others, and I found that community. And in finding that community, I found a place, and I found a reason to care and a purpose, and that meant a lot to me.
Carry on.
Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth?
Oh, they're wonderful, all of you.
Hey, what about Dorothy?
Oh, yes, what about Dorothy?
Yeah, Dorothy, well,
I don't think there's anything in there for me.
Well, you forced me into a cataclysmic decision. The only way to get Dorothy back to Kansas is for me to take her there myself.
Okay, hold on. Because this scene requires way more people than are up here, so we're going to stop at this point. So, Dorothy, I'm going to ask you to break character. You're 16. You're an amazing artist and musician. As you look forward to the road ahead of you that you're going to walk, what's one lesson that you're going to take away from this musical?
Well, I think that you don't have to be afraid to like be yourself, because everyone in this cast has been really supportive, and I think I really stepped out of my comfort zone in this, and it's been an experience of a lifetime, and I'll never forget it. So there really is no place like home, because this feels like my home and I love it. So yeah.
You guys can yeah. As they leave, we can just celebrate for a moment the countless hours put into creating this beautiful production. And again, thank you, Autumn. Thank you to the musical team. And thank you for beautiful stage design. There's so much beauty that went into this. Let's give another round of applause for them. When it was all over, and Dorothy had reached the end of the road, she stands with Toto in her arms and tears rolling down her face, and she still hasn't found home. Yellow Brick Road, as simple and as well marked as it was, had led her nowhere. The great green city had proved no better than the farmyard at satisfying her heart. And Dorothy stands crying, and Glinda, the good witch, appears. And Dorothy says, "Oh, will you help me? Can you help me?" Glinda says, "You don't need my help any longer. You know, you've always had the power to go back to Kansas." Dorothy says, "I have." And the Scarecrow says, "Then why didn't you tell her before?" And Glinda says, "Because she wouldn't have believed me if I told her. She had to learn it for herself. You always had the power to go back to Kansas. From the moment that Grace had set her down in a new land, she had the power to find home. She had the ability to make the journey. She had all of the resources she needed to make it all the way. She didn't know it then, but it had already been given to her. She didn't need a yellow brick road. She didn't need a city. She didn't need a wizard. She and her friends, who by the same token learned the same lesson, didn't even need what they thought they needed. All the paths laid out before them proved worthless. All the experts proved incapable of granting their deepest needs and wants. They only needed to make the journey. In walking, they found the way. In community, they found what really mattered. Paul says to the church in Rome, in chapter 5 of the book of Romans, he says, "By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it together with God because of Jesus." And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God, and at the same moment, we discover that God has already thrown open his doors to us. And we find ourselves standing where we had always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting praise. Throw open your doors to God and discover that God's doors had already been thrown open to you. Are you in storms? Are you like Dorothy, swept up in the tornadoes of life, and you can't seem to figure out where you're coming or where you're going? God's doors are open to you. Are you feeling hung up like the Scarecrow? Trapped? Then throw open your doors and run into God's wide open spaces of grace and love. Is your heart rusted up due to past heartbreak? Open the door of your heart. Try it one more time and find that the heart of God is wide open, pouring out for you. Does fear have you trapped in the closet? Then open that door with courage and come running out. Or are you like our wizard where you have built up these beautiful walls of smoke and mirror to keep yourself from truly being vulnerable, to letting people see who you really are. And in the process of that, you even lose your own self. Open your heart. Let the walls come down. Trust the people around you. Because if you come near to God, God has already come near to you. Let's pray. God, we have built up walls. We've lost sight of who we are and who you created us to be, of who you've placed within us. We're wrapped up in fear and anxiety. And yet your word tells us that your door is already open to us. Give us the courage, the wisdom, the heart to walk deeply and passionately into the home that you laid out for us. May we not take this journey alone, but may we trust the community that you put before us to meet us along the way. And may we journey together, knowing that we are not alone, that we belong because you say we belong. And like Dorothy, may we realize that there really is no place like home in your wide open spaces. We pray this in your name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Sunday Insight. Wayzata Community Church is a United Church of Christ congregation that welcomes all people into every aspect of our ministry and full membership of our church, believing deeply that discrimination and exclusion in any form is incompatible with Christ's message of unconditional love. If you'd like to learn more about Wayzata Community Church, please visit our website, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or download our weekly podcast. We offer 5 worship services each week, 8 a.m. with communion in our chapel, 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. and Parables, special needs worship service in the chapel at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. We also offer full adult and children's programming every Wednesday, including WOW, worship on Wednesday at 6:15 p.m. in the sanctuary. And we'll see you in church.